Welcome to the Indianola First Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our prayer is that this message will inspire you, encourage you, and launch you into life-changing action.
Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. You know, this year as I thought about Jesus' arrival on this earth and his coming, I couldn't help but think of a popular meme that's going around social media circles. And the idea of it is this. The idea of it is if you win the lottery, you might not make it public knowledge, but those closest to you, even if you didn't tell them, would probably figure it out. And the actual saying is, if I were to win the lottery, I wouldn't tell anybody, but there would be signs. And if you haven't seen or heard this before, let me give you a few examples of what I'm talking about. So, for example, you have this. I don't know if that's AI. It probably is. But if it's real, I am completely in on that couch. I might have to convince my wife, but it is amazing and comfortable, and I would love to just take a nap on it a Sunday morning. Or maybe that's not your thing. Maybe you're more of this kind of a person. I really don't know why. The only thing I can think of is maybe someone was at one point riding a horse and thought, what if I have to go to the bathroom when I'm riding a horse? What do I do? Well, I guess there's your answer right there. And now I'm a child of the 80s, and so for me, something like this is Castle of Grayskull and He-Man, I would be in for that. But maybe you're not in for any of those. Maybe you're more of a food person. So being a foodie, maybe you want something like this, like a 3-inch bologna sandwich. I don't know what you would do with that kind of money, but if someone won the lottery, they wouldn't have to tell anyone because the noise, the volume of that would speak so much that you wouldn't even have to say words necessarily. And that is exactly what happened 2,000 years ago at the manger when Jesus was born. And I think the most interesting part about Jesus being born is that there were clues, like puzzle pieces scattered throughout history for telling of his arrival. You see, God had been talking to the Jewish nation for centuries, letting them know that there was a Messiah coming, a Savior coming. In fact, you can see it all throughout the Old Testament. And of course, we read it and we know the end of the story, but you have to remember when they were reading these things or heard these things for the first time from the prophets, they had no context for who Jesus was or who the Messiah was. But let's take a look at a couple of them this morning. The first one is found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says this, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And the second verse that I want to take a look at this morning is found in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It says, "But you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among the people of Judah, yet a ruler whose origins are of the distant past will come from you on my behalf." You see, God had been giving them these clues and these pieces of information throughout the centuries, pointing to this Messiah, this Savior, this leader that was going to come and help their nation. So they knew that. They knew that this Messiah was coming. They knew that he would be their deliverer. They knew that he was going to be born of a virgin. We just read it in Isaiah chapter 7. They might have not thought that was literal. They might not have known what to think about that because it had never happened up until that point in the world and hasn't happened since. But they knew that the Savior was going to be born of a virgin. They knew the location of his birth. They knew that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. In fact, if you look back at Matthew chapter 1, when the wise men came to worship the new king, they asked Herod, who was over the region at that time, they said, "Hey, where is this king to be born?" And Herod brought the scribes and all the teachers of the law together, and the teachers of the law told him, "Hey, the Savior is going to be born in Bethlehem. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem." They knew exactly where he was going to be born, so they had all this information. It's like the only detail they didn't have about this coming Messiah was when he was going to be born. It's like God saying, I'm not going to tell you when the Savior is going to be born, but there will be signs. And there was signs. The night when Jesus was born, the angels rolled back the veil that separated heaven and earth to announce his arrival. And if that weren't enough, all this information and the sign of the angels, God created an even more elaborate sign to let people know that Jesus came on the scene. God actually created a star that night. Because if you remember, the wise men said that they saw his star rise in the east the night that he was born. God created a sun to herald the arrival of his son, Jesus Christ. Now that's a pretty big sign. I think everybody would probably agree with that. So they had all of these signs, the new sun being created. They had all the prophecies. And here they are at the most significant event in human history. An event that was so significant, it literally split our calendar in half from BC to AD. And 99% of the Jewish population completely missed it. They had all the signs. They had all the prophecies. This was not an information problem. They had the information. No, this was an expectation problem. Simply put, Jesus wasn't who they were expecting him to be. They were expecting a deliverer from Rome, and yet they received a deliverer from sin. They were expecting a king on a throne, and yet they received a baby in a feeding trough. They were expecting a ruler, and they received a servant. They were expecting a man of opulence, and they received a vagabond. Scholars estimate that there would have been thousands of people in Bethlehem that night. The king of the universe had arrived, and thousands of people missed it because they didn't expect him to be there. You know, you might be like me and you think about that and you ask the question that I just asked. How could you have missed seeing him? Bethlehem was not a big city. It was only a few thousand people that night because there was a census and people had to travel to Bethlehem. How could you have missed the king of the universe showing up? He was literally right under your noses. Well, I turned that question back on myself and I asked myself, how come I miss Jesus every day because I don't expect him to show up in my life? You know, even at Christmas time when we celebrate this very story that we're talking about this morning, his arrival, I mean, we've got, you know, so many things going on. We've got shopping and baking and parties and concerts and plays and recitals and family get-togethers and traveling and all these things that we put on our calendar make it one of the busiest times of the year. And I don't know if you're like me, but it's easy for me to miss Jesus during his very own celebration. See, kind of like us, sometimes the Jews, they put limits on the Messiah. They put him in a box so bad that they couldn't even see him when he arrived. They had expectations of who he was, and when he showed up on the scene, he was not what they expected, so they didn't even see him showing up. And my question for you this morning is this: have you put Jesus in a box this Christmas? Maybe some of you that go to church on a weekly basis, do you put Jesus in the Sunday morning church box? Or do you expect him to show up at your work on Tuesday afternoon? Or have you left Jesus in the manger box? You know, it's easy to leave the little baby Jesus in the manger in your mind because he's vulnerable and, you know, he's not the conquering king who asked for your life. He's just the little baby that doesn't ask much. I know that I've had times in my life when I've had misplaced expectations at Christmas, and one that really comes to my mind when I think about it is a time when I was in ministry school and back in South Dakota, and I came home for Christmas that year from school, and when I came home for Christmas, we always celebrated on Christmas Eve, and this particular Christmas Eve was incredibly rough because somewhere between Christmas dinner and opening presents, a fight broke out, and horrible words were said, tears were shed. It was complete, and when I say it's complete and utter chaos, it was chaos. And in the midst of all that, after that was over, after that fight, it was like whenever you've been in a place, in a room where there's been a fight and there's just tension, you can hear a pin drop, you can just feel the tension in the room. That's where we were at that point in the story. And the crazy thing was, or maybe not crazy, but the thing was me going into that, my expectations of that Christmas were like every other Christmas. My expectations were on autopilot. And the thing was, when I grew up, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up going to church. And so in our Christmas celebrations, Jesus wasn't usually at the center of our Christmas. And so I wasn't literally expecting him to be there, and I wasn't looking for him to show up. But after that dysfunction reared its ugly head, I went up to one of the bedrooms that was upstairs in the house that we were celebrating in. And I got down on my knees, I cried out to the Lord, and I actually looked for him, and I invited him to be a part of my Christmas. And what's crazy is, when I went back downstairs that night, I got about halfway down the stairs and I could hear people chittering and chattering and talking amongst each other. And when I got downstairs, it was even crazier because people were smiling and they were laughing. And the people that were yelling at each other moments ago were making, not just making up, but they were laughing together. They were having fun together. It was like I was transported to a parallel universe. It was so different. The atmosphere had shifted so much, it was completely a different place when I came down. Why? Because I expected Jesus to show up, and guess what? Jesus showed up at my Christmas, and it changed absolutely everything. And I don't know where you are this morning in your life today. I know some of you have probably been following Jesus for a long time in your lives, and maybe you just need a reminder this morning to expect Jesus to show up in your day-to-day, because I'll tell you what, he wants nothing more than to spend time with you. He wants nothing more than to lead you throughout your day, whether it's a Sunday morning, whether it's a Thursday afternoon or a Friday morning, wherever you're at in your life, expect him to show up, and you will see him, I guarantee you, because he's always at work around you. But so many times we just don't look for him to show up in our situation and our circumstance. So my first challenge is to you, to those of us who follow Jesus, just expect him to show up. Secondly, there might be some of you in here that maybe like me growing up, you didn't have Jesus as a part of your life, and you've never experienced that free gift of salvation that he offers to everyone. And so I want to present that gift to you this morning, because the whole reason that Jesus came down to earth as a baby was that he could be close to us. And when I say close, I mean close in the sense that at the beginning of history, mankind separated ourselves from God. We separated ourselves through something called sin. And that sin created this chasm, this canyon between us and between God, to where we can't get to him. We couldn't get to him after that time. And then Jesus came on the scene. And when Jesus came on the scene, He became sin for us. He took the punishment that we deserve. And when he did that through his crucifixion and through his burial and through his resurrection, then he created a bridge, a wide bridge across that chasm, across that canyon, and gave us access to God's presence again so we could be close to him. And I know this morning some of you have never taken advantage of that. So I want to give you again that opportunity to say yes to him this morning. And that yes this morning looks a little unique, because it's a free offer that I'm presenting to you this morning, but it's not a cheap one. You see, it's going to cost you the control of your life, but in return, you get eternal life. It's a pretty good trade-off, I think you would agree. And what does God ask of us? Well, he asks us to accept him, his offer of salvation. That's step number one. And then after we accept his offer of salvation, he asks us to give him the controls of our life. See, it's not on us. We just say yes, but we give him the controls of our lives and we let him call the shots on our day-to-day. And we learn how to do that over time in a process called discipleship. But this morning, I want to give you the offer to start off today, the first step in this salvation, the step in salvation, to say yes to Jesus Christ and make him part of your life this morning. And the way that I'm going to ask you to do that today is, in just a couple of seconds, I'm going to have you bow your heads and close your eyes, and just so that you're not distracted, and just so that we can talk, and just kind of you and me one-on-one. And I want to ask you that question, if you want to bring Jesus into your life. And that's going to look like a commitment prayer from you that I'll lead you in this morning. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes today. And if you're in this place this morning and you want to make that commitment to Jesus and ask him, accept his free offer of salvation and ask him to be a part of your life, I want you to just go ahead and raise your hand right now. Nobody's looking around. This is just a time between you and God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So many hands, so many hands. You can go ahead and put your hands down. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I want everybody to repeat this prayer, not just those that rose their hands, but the Bible tells us that if you confess the words of this prayer and you believe them in your heart, then you will be saved. So let's please repeat after me this morning. Jesus, thank you for your free gift. I receive it with open hands this morning and with an open heart. Forgive me of my rebellion and for offending you. I give myself to you and the control of my life. Help me to follow you with my whole heart. Father, I want to thank you for each and every person in this place. God, for those that raised their hands this morning and are taking the first step into this beautiful, beautiful life that you provide for us and that you ask each and every one of us to step into with you. God, I pray that the words and the seeds that were planted this morning in their heart would produce an incredible harvest today. Father, this Christmas would be different for them because, Lord, they've invited you into their Christmas, maybe for the very first time this morning. And Father, I thank you for that. God, I pray, Lord, that you'll keep them, that your Holy Spirit will keep them safe. Lord, that the word that was sown, Father God, would not be messed with by the enemy, but God, it would be protected. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to your throne and to be with you and be close to you at this Christmas time, because that's exactly why you came to this earth. We love you and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you that raised your hand this morning and prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you. You've taken, well, first of all, something amazing has just happened, whether you felt anything or not. The Bible tells us that you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That now that you know Jesus, you've received eternal life. There's incredible benefits that come with this new life that you've said yes to. But this, like I said, is the step, but at the same time, it's the first step of many in a new life that Jesus wants to offer you. And in order to learn a little bit about that, there's a couple things I would ask you to do. Number one, if you came with someone today, they probably know Jesus and they probably have some answers for you. It can get you started on the right path. So please, by all means, ask them, let them know you made that decision and ask them for some help and they can help, or at least they can get you to someone who can help you. If maybe you came in here on your own just because you came and you saw there's going to be a Christmas program this morning and no one came with you, I would encourage you to find myself or one of the pastoral staff today, like Pastor Barry over here who's on the platform with me, and you can find us and you can talk to us and we would love to get you started, get you a Bible and kind of give you some next steps. We'd love to do that for you. So thank you so much for coming. We're excited that you had this eternal experience this morning. Well, we are not done yet, because though we've taken you on a journey through time to explore music across the centuries, we know that all of this music, all of the themes of Christmas have an origin this morning, and they started somewhere. And the first Christmas song this morning didn't come from a cathedral, it didn't come from a concert hall, it came from a small field outside of Bethlehem. In fact, the angels are the ones who delivered the very first Christmas carol when they proclaimed glory to God in the highest. You might know the song Angels We Have Heard on High, where they say Gloria in Excelsis Deo. That just means glory to God in the highest. That was the very first Christmas song. And so as we conclude a timeless Christmas this morning, we invite you to join the same heavenly song. So let's lift our voices this morning with the angels and worship the King, celebrating his arrival then and now.
Thanks for being a part of the Indianola First podcast. Join us next week to stay updated on our latest messages.